everybody. This is Maggie Rodden, and you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. And if you would like to advertise your business or service on a great network, then get in touch with Republic Broadcasting Network, 800-724-2719, 800-724-2719. If you like snail mail, you know, you got a little affinity for the postal workers and you want to try to help them stay in business, 2251 Double Creek Road, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664 is the address. If you'd like to send something to Republic Broadcasting Network via snail mail, you're welcome to do so. Hello, everybody listening everywhere around the country, all around the world, and on our latest station, KHFX, 1140 AM, Dallas, Fort Worth. Hello, everybody. You're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. My name is Maggie Rodden. My guest today is William Taylor Ryle. And you were talking about Munvee, Illinois, Bill, when we went to that quick break. So,
yeah, and I would encourage everybody to read that, but particularly pay note to the dissenting opinion, which is often the case. The dissenting opinion often is more correct than the majority these days. And as I said, it didn't start yesterday. And the 14th Amendment really gave rise to that because it allows this perversion of the law, that ignoring the states in essence and perverting them to subdivisions of the federal government. And you can see that the states are pretty much, okay, we really can't question anything that the federal government does. It's just totally ridiculous. But on the reference to the 14th Amendment, this is one of the articles that's on the website we have handed to the representatives and senators, governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general in Pennsylvania. It's called The So-Called 14th Amendment Was Not Lawfully Adopted or Ratified. And I first start out by talking about the state of Utah versus Phillips. That's a 1975 case that the Utah Supreme Court talked about. And in there he said the dissenting opinion asserts that the 14th Amendment is part of the Constitution of the United States. While this same assertion has been made by the United States Supreme Court, that court has never held that the amendment was legally adopted. I cannot believe that any court in full possession of its faculties could honestly hold that the amendment was properly approved and adopted. And then he cites Dyett versus Turner, which was a 1968 case, in which he explains in great length the thing that I explained about how it was not properly approved or adopted. And he didn't make that up altogether. It appeared in Tulane Law Review in 1953, same kind of discussion by an attorney. And the title of that article is The Dubious Origin of the 14th Amendment. And then in 1959, in the South Carolina Law Quarterly, Volume 11, another attorney, McAlee, wrote, "The 14th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States and the threat that it poses to our democratic government." Well, I guess in 1959 it really was a democracy, not a republic.
Yeah, huh?
All right. And then in the Congressional Record in 1967, June 13th, 1967, a judge, Judge Perez from Louisiana, joined with others to put in the Congressional Record the same discussion about how unconstitutional it is, and called on all the states to declare it unconstitutional because the courts wouldn't. And in the end, it says, only an aroused public sentiment in favor of the preserving the Constitution in our institutions and freedoms under the constitutional government and the future security of our country will break the political barriers which now prevent judicial consideration on the constitutionality of the 14th Amendment. This is not something that people in government don't understand. And if you build a house on sand, which is what's going on here, our government's built on this so-called 14th Amendment.
Hang on, Bill. We got to go to another break. We'll come back in 3 minutes, everybody. Don't go away. This is The Unsolicited Opinion. My name is Maggie Rodden, and we'll be back.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey, everybody. This is Maggie Rodden, and you are listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. And the call-in number this morning is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. My website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, theunsolicitedopinion.com. And if you'd like to get in contact with me, there's a contact button on my website, and you can send me your opinion if you care to do so. In fact, I had somebody send me something the other day. They said I was a Noahide, and I'm a deceiver. And I can't remember the third thing that they claimed I was, Bill. But so you can send me your opinions, whether they're right, wrong, or indifferent. I don't particularly care. But if it makes you feel good to do it, then by all means, you go right ahead and do it. Listen, Bill, I'm all about free speech. So, hey, what the hell, right? I don't care. It doesn't make any difference to me.
Yeah.
If it trips people's trigger and it gives them a big thrill for the day, then, hey, go for it.
Yeah,
but anyway.
And the delete button works really well.
Yeah, well. Listen, we got a caller, Bill. Let's take a caller. You want to finish making your point about the 14th Amendment, and then we'll start taking some callers?
Yeah, just another little bit.
All right.
What I was saying was that if you build your house on sand, it's going to fall down. And what we're experiencing is the falling down of our country because a lot of this is built on false law, unconstitutional law. But the saving grace of this is, as Judge Bred said in the Congressional Record, he said, and I quote, when the mandatory provisions of the Constitution are violated, the Constitution itself strikes with nullity the act that did violence to its provision. Thus, the Constitution strikes with nullity the purported 14th Amendment. And The courts have decided, confirmed this, that if it's unconstitutional, it's null and void from the time it was written all the way back to Hamilton in Federal 78, but also the courts from Marbury versus Madison. So the result is that all these things that are based on the 14th Amendment and unconstitutional acts are non-existent, not breaking the law. They are by trying to enforce them. And really the courts are supposed to stand up and protect us, but they don't because they're the ones engineering this. So with that, let's go to the call.
All right. You know, Bill, I wanted to say one more thing, then we're going to grab that caller in a second. You know, thinking about that congressman and that tree party out in New Mexico, it wouldn't take much at all, really, if everywhere across the country where people are being assaulted and denied their freedom of liberty, if the American people would just say no and just, like you always say, if they would all just start cutting the trees down. And I'm saying that figuratively, not literally, but you get my point. If people would just start saying, no, we're not going to take this crap anymore.
And being
it would be such a simple thing, because you know what? There are more of us than there are of them. There really are. There are millions of us. There are not millions of these schmucks who control the game. There's only a handful of them. There are more of us than there are of them.
Yeah, and they'll say, well, that's anarchy, not... We have anarchy, frankly, when they're not following the law. Well, you have to follow the law.
Yeah, haven't they thrown over the they've overthrown our government, haven't they?
Yes, but you have to follow the law. Liberty is not free. You have to be responsible and follow the law. And when you're following the law, they lose. Even if they take your liberty away, put you in jail, they still lose.
Well, anyway, let's go to this caller. We've got Jerry in Arkansas. Hey, Jerry, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you all doing today? I hope
good. What's your comment today, Jer?
Well, I think it's interesting you're having a discussion on the 14th Amendment, and clearly 14th Amendment starts out and says all persons born or naturalized. It does not say all people. Those two words are not pronounced the same, and they're not spelled the same. Thusly, I believe that the beginning subject should be as to what a person is as defined by law and what people are. Because throughout case law and the evidence of law that's brought to the U.S. Supreme Court, that is called the characteristics of one's status. People's right to contract is unlimited. And so the people are not aware of the fact that they contracted to become a person. And that's where part of the crux of the problem is, right there. People do not stop to say, am I a people, as the Bill of Rights, First, Second Amendment, so forth, the right of the people. It doesn't say the right of the persons. And so people want to jump over this very fundamental beginning. And then to offer this, I'd like to give you just three short sentences. Inasmuch as every government is an artificial person, an abstraction, and a creature of the mind only, a government can interface only with other artificial persons. The imaginary, having neither actuality nor substance, is foreclosed from creating and attaining parity with the tangible.
Where is this from, Jer?
Penhallow versus Doan's Administrators, 3 United States. States Supreme 54, 3 U.S. 54, 1 LED 54, 3 Dow Hallow 4.
It's a Supreme Court case?
Yes,
and
ma'am.
And the year, Jerry?
1795, and it's never been overturned, and I haven't finished. The legal manifestation of this is that no government, as well as any law, agency, aspect, court, etc., can concern itself with any other than corporate, artificial persons, and the contracts between them. So, you know, this is the fundamental case that allowed them to come up with the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment is applicable to the persons subject to, you know, to the jurisdiction of the United States and are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. Now, everybody wants to jump and say the state where somebody resides is, you know, hey, that's Arkansas. Well, I happen to be in Arkansas these days. I'm not in the state of Arkansas, and I don't reside. Because if I resided, I would become a resident, and that's a corporate artificial entity.
Okay, Jerry. In all due respect, I've heard this argument again over and over, and you're trying, first of all, even talking about the 14th Amendment is sort of wind, you know, empty wind, because it's not law. And when you get into the weeds of something like that, you go to the never ending. All right? And so I would encourage people to say, you want to debate the person versus people. First of all, there's always been persons, natural persons and artificial persons. And I'm not sure the context of the case. I haven't read it, this 1795 case. You need to take it in context. But bottom line is, when they talk about persons or citizens of the United States and citizens of the state in which they reside, they're clearly talking about people. And the whole idea of the 14th Amendment was to make the citizens of the state subject to the United States first and then to be subject to the state. They turn that relationship around. And if you read a lot about constitutional law from commentaries such as by Cooley, they explain this very clearly. So I think you're making an argument which is trying to justify the 14th Amendment.
No, I'm not justifying it. I'm saying, you know, I don't like the 14th Amendment, but I'm saying that people, by not understanding the law, allow themselves to become a person. And all of the citations go in and say, they define a person. And, you know, within those bounds, that's what a person is. And it does not refer to as the tangible people.
Well,
and on these individual words is how cases turn. And then you're ruled by these cases. And that's what happened.
Jerry, what's the name of that 1795 case?
Hallow versus Doan's Administrators. 3 U.S. 54.
Okay, because I know you and I have spoken before. I would ask you to email it to me, but I don't think, if I recall correctly, you don't use email. So
don't have a computer.
I'm sorry?
I don't have a computer.
I didn't think you did.
Ken Hollow versus what, please?
Doan's Administrators.
Is it Doan's with a D or with a J, as in Jell-O?
D-O-A-N-E apostrophe S.
Okay. All right.
But anyway, you know, this is where people, like, for example, you know, you could ask the question, is an occupational license, what is an occupational license? Could it, you know, like, what kind of tax is that?
All right.
Well, the license and permits are another issue. In this case, if it deals with corporations, and you know, we have to take it in context, Jerry. So anyway, I have run across this approach before many times, and I would just caution everybody to say, well, okay, even if what you're saying is true, the 14th Amendment doesn't exist, so who cares? All right, that's the reality. You can solve these problems very easily without getting into the weeds.
Well, have we been able to find any evidence? You know, I've read, you know, Congressman Roerich's arguments in Congress or the House about the 14th Amendment. I got the entire thing about it and how they didn't vote it right and everything. But the fact is, the reality, as you mentioned, Bork said, it's been done. And that's how most people are ruled.
Oh, okay. So we're going to accept that we're slaves and we don't have any rights.
No, I don't do that.
No, what I'm saying is, Jerry, when people say, okay, the court has decided or the government has said or we've been doing it for a long time, means that it's okay to rob a bank, because if you get away with it, then it's okay. And that's
not what I'm saying.
I don't think that's what he's saying, Bill. But listen, we're going to be going
back
straight.
But not be a person, and then they don't have jurisdiction to do this to you. That's what I've been doing.
Listen, we're going to break. We'll be right back, everybody, in a couple of minutes. Don't go away. This is the Unsolicited Opinion. My name is Maggie Rodden, and Barrett will take your call when we come back.
Work Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees. But we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Hey, everybody, it's Maggie Rodden. You're listening to the Unsolicited Opinion. Call in number 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Listen, my website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. So please go there and check out the information, especially the tab entitled UN Agenda 21 Sustainable Development. Jerry, you want to finish making your point real quick because I'm going to take another caller. Are you still on with me, Jerry?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Well, constantly on all kinds of talk shows and things, people, I hear hosts and guests say, we have to stand up and say no. And I agree with this. And this is a maximum of civilization. Where jurisdiction is not squarely challenged, it is presumed to exist. And only those that learn these definitions can squarely challenge and prove the characteristics of their status that are not under these federal contracts. And, you know, I hope that's concise, but we have to say no in the correct way. We can't do it by saying I'm a person because you get zapped right there.
Okay.
Anyway,
so
thank you for allowing me to participate a little bit today.
Well, you're welcome anytime, Jer. I don't have a problem with that. My thought on this, Bill, then we're going to take a couple callers.
Well, I have a comment, too. So.
Well, yeah, I will let you talk, too, right. Bill. How's that sound? Because you pay me a lot of money to let you talk.
So go ahead.
Listen, here's my thought, and I know if you think of, and I understand there's the human person and there's a natural person, and then the corporate entity or corporation becomes, I guess, an artificial person. But you've got person singular, people plural, and I know in the context of whatever it is you're reading, you have to look at how things are used in context. I guess that's all I want to really say about that when it comes to what Jerry was referring to in the beginning of the 14th Amendment.
Yeah, well,
all persons born or naturalized, I mean, you know, is that people are a group of persons, are they not?
Right. And unfortunately, this is done quite a bit. First of all, artificial entities, all right, are more than just persons and their trust, and there are more than just corporations. But if you go to the original Constitution, Article 1, Section 2, Clause 2, where it starts out, no person shall be a representative. We had this discussion once before. And the Senate has the same provision in Section 3. The framers knew the definition of persons and people. And in Norwester's Dictionary of 1828, it makes a clear distinction of artificial and natural person. And this goes all the way back to the Roman time. This is not a new concept. And the framers understood this. People want to justify an argument by changing the meaning. And if the court was making a comment, one must take that comment of 1795 in context of the parties of the case. Until I read that case, I won't be able to talk about it. But I would guess that these are corporate entities, and that's what are artificial entities, and that's what they're talking about in this case. Just to guess.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah. Hey, let's take a couple callers here. We have Barrett in Portland. Hi, Barrett.
Hi, Maggie. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, okay. I just wanted to say something about democracy. I used to believe in it, that the Democrats ought to win. You know, I used to believe this. And in 06, I voted for the Democrats to take the House so that we could stop this unending war. Supposedly Iraq, you know, I mean, they didn't do anything. Democracies always end up in an oligarchy, or they turn into an anarchy, and then it ends up in an oligarchy. But there's only two forms of government, and that's oligarchy or a constitutional republic which defends the individual. Rosa Parks, 1955, December 2nd, 1955, refused to give up her seat because I read her autobiography. And she says, oh, people thought that I didn't want it because I was tired that day. No, she was tired of giving up her rights to the white man, like the Indians and the blacks. I kind of asked myself a question, has it ever been free? I mean, even in 1776, George Washington had slaves. He treated them good. And they wouldn't have anywhere to go anyways if they hadn't. And he also grew hemp, and now it's illegal in this country. And that's wrong, too, because people are individuals. It says it specifies in the Constitution that if you haven't hurt anyone or you haven't cost anyone any money, there's no crime. And here they are arresting people, busting in their houses, dragging them out of bed for, you know, taking a picture of their kid. You know, with a towel. I mean, Alex Jones mentioned that. You know, and he also mentioned that, you know, we're under surveillance. One nation is under surveillance, but if we surveil them, we're considered terrorists. But democracy is what I was trying to get at. We don't want democracy because it's mob rule that takes the rights of the individual away from the individual. The smallest. The smallest minority in the world is the individual. And the only way that can be protected is by a constitutional republic or no government. You know, go back to the sticks and stone age. I don't know, but I've heard that they want us back there. I don't know.
Well,
what's your opinion?
Well, hang on, Bear, because we got to go to break. So we'll be right back in 3 minutes, everybody. This is the Unsolicited Opinion, and we shall return.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water. PureEffectFilters.com has a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster. In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough PureEffect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more. Or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Call now and take one of the most important steps you'll take to a healthier future.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie Rodden. You're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. And if you want to call into the show today, 800-313-9443 is the number to do that. If you want to advertise your business or service on this great network, Republic Broadcasting Network, then the number to call is 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719 is the number to call. Hello to everybody out there listening and all of you on KHFX 1140 AM, Dallas and Fort Worth. Hello, everybody. Listen, Barrett, your question is, what do I think about that? Number one, we're supposed to be living in a republic, not a democracy. And number two, I think that the American people should be left alone. The whole idea is maximum liberty and limited government. That's what it was supposed to be. Of course, that's not what it's morphed into, but that was the original intent, which is what, of course, we need to get back to, which is the whole point of what it is I guess we're doing here. On this network is trying to wake people up. Take your country back. I don't know if you're still there, Barrett. I'm not sure if you are or not.
I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, and I want you to make your point quick.
You're absolutely right. My mother thinks that everything in the world is because of Republicans. And I'm trying to tell her the same puppet master is running both of them. It's like the Wizard of Oz. Men behind the curtain. That's an oligarchy.
Yeah, I know.
And they want to keep it secret. That's why they have the Bilderberg meetings and all that. And I just think that, see, I've got two charges in the state of Idaho.
Okay, well, Barrett, I don't want to cut you short, but I want to take another quick caller,
okay.
Real.
All right, I don't want to take up
so
too much.
So make your
time.
Point. Right. Yeah, please. You got
Thank
it.
You. If I could inject for the listeners, in November 30th of 1928. Hello.
I guess we cut him off. Go ahead, Bill.
In November 30th, 1928, the War Department produced a training manual. It's manual 2000-25 on citizenship. And in section 117, number 7, it says the government of the United States is not a democracy, but a republic. In section 120, it makes a comparison between aristocracy, democracy, and a republic. And it clearly says democracy, a government of the masses, authority derived through mass meetings or any other form of direct expression, results in mobocracy. Attitude toward property is communistic, negating property rights. The republic obviously is different, and it defines that as well. The interesting part about this manual, this manual was written to train Army recruits.
Yeah, what do they use today, you think, Bill?
Oh, and shortly after FDR introduced the New Deal, this document was pulled and forbidden for use in the military. So,
yeah.
There
I
you go.
I imagine. Let's. We've got another caller. Let's go to Rodney, please. Hey, Rodney, how are you? Hello, Rodney. Earth,
Hello?
Rodney. Come in, Rodney.
Oh, I'm sorry. Great timing. Great
yeah,
timing.
Really. It usually is in life. What's going on, Rodney?
Oh, I just thought I would call in and try to redeem myself from yesterday. Years ago, I did some research on the Illinois constitutions and the original, and I think there were three revisions. Just to give you an example of how thorough they were after the Civil War, the Illinois flag was even amended. Redrawn.
Okay.
It's a white background. It has the Illinois seal. It has an eagle on it. The eagle has a ribbon in its mouth. On that ribbon, originally was printed state sovereignty and federal union. When they revised it, they turned state sovereignty upside down. The text was upside down. And federal union was right side up. So even to that minute detail, it was obvious. Look in hindsight, what they were up to. And that's my only comment, Maggie.
Okay,
that is great to know. Thank you. That's good information.
Yeah. Well, you know, symbols mean everything. The placement of things really do mean something. Nothing, I think, is just happening by happenstance. I really do think that a lot of the ways things are portrayed or just relayed, there's an intent behind everything. I believe that. I think every single thing is placed the way it's placed with a specific purpose in mind. I don't think that was just some isolated screw-up on the part of, whomever, no matter what situation you're talking about. I really think, there's obviously... is there incompetency in a lot of things? Would they put something upside down or reverse it by a mistake? Sure, that might happen, but odds on it happening just randomly and not being done deliberately with a specific intent in mind, I think that's highly unlikely. I don't believe in the fairy godmother anymore. Gave it up.
No, and you'll find that you're absolutely right, Maggie. The states, after the war between the states, either they did it during or just after or after the war between the states, all of the states amended their constitution. Illinois was in 1870. Pennsylvania was 1874. So mischief has been done.
Yeah. Well, and it's, and the thing is that people don't realize, a lot of the people do listening to this network because, they're up to speed with what is happening and what's been done here in this country. But there's a handful of people who are the masters of the game. They are the ones who really control everything, nothing. And that's the most incredible part, that it's so hard for people to fathom that that's actually the case. they really just think, you know, you're some nut job and, oh, you're just a conspiracy theorist and blah, blah, blah. It's just a social movement. When it's not a social movement, the impetus for this agenda has been orchestrated by a handful of people, same people, their descendants and their cronies are pushing this globalist agenda and have been for decades and decades and decades and decades. And it's just, it seems so implausible. That's why it's so difficult for people to really believe that things aren't just happening randomly, that there's actually a grand design being implemented. Because it's easier not to believe that. Who the hell wants to believe this stuff? I'd rather believe in the Truth Fairy.
Well, it's really hard for people to believe that those in government would be so evil.
Yeah, I know it.
And we are generally disposed by that. Remember in the Declaration of Independence, we suffer suffering as long as it's sufferable. Before we upright this problem, well, we're there. It's time to upright it. And we have, in fact, experienced a long change of usurpation. And we need, the people need to learn and to stand together and to say, no, we're not going to do this anymore. You are going to follow the law, or there will be very serious consequences. There are none now for government, unfortunately, because the courts are in charge.
Well,
at least in my experience. It happens every once in a while. Sometimes they get it right. But I think as time goes on, even judges, many of them, will realize that they are part of the destruction of their own freedom. And they will not be in charge because, you know, all dictatorships, the people who work to overthrow the government are usually eliminated by those who take over ultimately. So,
well, yeah, because the bottom line is if these people look at it this way, if they can't trust those people, if those people would so willingly turn their back on their fellow citizen, American
right.
citizen, Australian citizen, makes no difference. It's happening all around the world. Then they'd stab them in the back, too. So they're not going to keep them around. Why would they?
Well,
it's just not logical. It doesn't flow with the scheme of things. It just makes no sense because they would never be able to trust them.
And the nice thing about America, unique on the earth, is we have a unique form of government based on biblical law and constitution, and it is a republic, and I don't care what they've done, it is still a republic as a matter of law that respects property rights and individual rights. And in fact, as I said, everything that these crooks have done from 1776 on that's unconstitutional is null and void from the time they did it, and individuals make that decision. All power is in the people and not in the government, not in any branch. It is not the court that makes the ultimate decision. If they were following the law and their oath of office, they would make the right decisions, and this stuff would stop immediately.
Bill, we've got another caller, so let me grab this caller. We are going to go to Alex, who's identifying himself as outside of the United States. Hi, Alex. How are you?
Hello, Maggie. Hello, Bill.
Hi.
Great show. Great information. I wanted to ask Bill to see if what his opinion is relating to, you know, the point that you make, which is clear. A lot of the 14th Amendment and a lot of laws are unconstitutional, but, you know, the politicians and the lawyers, they follow through with these things even though it's unconstitutional. What is your take, and what do you think the role of Freemasonry has to do with any of this? Because I've researched, and I know a lot of lawyers and judges are Freemasons. Do you think that has an impact in all of this, Bill?
Well, there's an answer that could take hours. The answer to your question is yes, as are many other secret groups, but certainly Freemasonry. Understand that Freemasonry has changed drastically in the middle of the 1800s, everybody says, well, a lot of the founding fathers were Freemasons, and that's true. Washington was certainly not an active one.
But masonry at that time was quite different than after Albert Pike took over in the mid-1800s. He was a pure evil man, period. Head of the Scottish Rite, so forth. And what went on in Italy with the Illuminati and what went on with Albert Pike and the Illuminati here in the United States, drastic change. And most Masons don't really understand. I had a friend used to tell me about this, and I learned a lot from him. And he would say most Masons are meet, eat, and retreat folks. They don't really understand how bad it is. But when you get up to the 32, 33 degree level, then you know. And it has a very, very bad effect. One of the major things that I understand is when one takes an oath to the Mason, all other oaths are subordinate to it, and so it doesn't matter. So when a Mason takes an oath to the Constitution, it doesn't matter. His first duty is to the Mason, and that is a false religion, and they do a lot of good work, but it's a cover-up for some very bad stuff. That's sort of in a nutshell.
Okay, thank you for that, Bill. I've practically come to the same conclusion that you just mentioned there, and because, like you mentioned, all other oaths that they make are, they are, you know, that overrides, the Masonic oath overrides anything else, including, you know, constitutional or anything else that they make. So, thanks, Bill.
You're welcome. They also have a lot of secret symbols, and if you learn some of them, you go into court and you'll watch some of the signals going back between attorneys and judges. It's amazing. It's really amazing. So.
Yeah, corruption knows no bounds, does it? Thanks, Alice, I'm sorry. Alex, I appreciate you calling. Yeah, it's it really is an overwhelming, it is overwhelming when you think of the extent of the corruption that is in so much of what we deal with on a day-to-day basis. It really is amazing. And it's even more amazing to me, Bill, I think lots of times, is how easily people are corrupted. I mean, it doesn't really take much for people to sell their souls to the devil, so to speak. You know, a lot of people are bribed for very little money or very little whatever they use to bribe them with. You know, we've got another caller real quick, so let's grab him before we end up hitting the next break. Let's go to Al in Kansas. Hi, Al. Hello, Al.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Oh, okay.
How are you?
I have a question that I would need some clarification on. Maybe you folks could help me. As I understand it, the government we have now, the de facto government, really is a corporation, and it doesn't have jurisdiction outside of Washington, D.C., or that small area. How is it that we're still answering to that government when it doesn't have jurisdiction over anything outside of that 10-square-mile area?
Well, there's, again, a lot of misinformation floating around. People go back to the incorporation of the District of Columbia in 1871, and if you read that incorporation, it's talking about the government that is in the District of Columbia that's being incorporated. And my take on this is, after the war between the states, corporations begin to spring up in great numbers. In fact, the Pennsylvania Constitution was changed to have just a couple lines of corporations to almost a page, at least over a half a page in the state constitution about corporations. Attorneys started writing a lot of laws to protect corporations, and they were created in great number in the private sector. And the governments wanted to get in on that because it would protect the people in government from lawsuits when they made mistakes. And so the government of these, and you look around, your county and state have all been incorporated. But that's the business of the government. It's not the governance of the government. The governance is what you're being exposed to. There are a lot more well-documented reasons for why they're doing what they're doing, and it has virtually nothing to do with incorporation. It doesn't. That's
comes out of the 14th Amendment argument because somebody says, well, it's an incorporation document, thinking it has to do with corporations as an example, but it doesn't. It has to do with the incorporation of the first 8 articles of the Bill of Rights into the state. That's why it's called the Incorporation Amendment.
Okay, but that wasn't an incorporation, I don't think, when D.C. was given the right to write their own constitution. So apart from the corporation, that D.C. area that was given the right to how should we say it, govern that area that they govern, how is it that they are now governing the rest of the country?
Because of the 14th Amendment, trying to help, and other things that have gone on. The New Deal is an example, the war and emergency powers. There's a lot of things that, little steps, if you will, but it started with the 14th Amendment. When Washington, D.C. was created, and still is, by the way, it's under the control of the Congress.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper.
So.
Hey, listen, I hear the break music. We're at break here. I didn't even hear the cue music. I don't know what happened there, Bill.
Okay, well, I got
In fact, I don't even know. Maybe we're not at break because I wouldn't be able to hear you. Okay, I guess we're going to skip the break because I didn't get a count and I didn't hear cue music, but I did hear, hey, honey, I'm home. So is that somebody telling you, Al, hey, honey, they're home? Or I don't know what the hell we're hearing here. Maybe I'm just hearing things. But anyway, we're going to skip that break. So go ahead, Bill. Al, hang on. Go ahead, Bill. Finish what
you're
saying.
Does that answer your question, Al? I would be very cautious of a simplistic answer as a silver bullet.
Yes and no, it answers my question. I still sense a usurpation taking place here because I don't think the American people had anything to say about that, and I think that's contrary to the establishment of the rules of a republic.
You're absolutely right. It has been converted. It's not even a democracy now, in my opinion, but let's assume it is. And the use of and misuse of and misapplication of federal statutes within the state is obviously rampant, isn't it? As an example, the federal government has absolutely zero authority to be involved with health care. Zero. And how much time and effort and money is being spent or cash being spent on this shenanigans, it has been converted. The question is, how do we change it? And the answer to that is, the law is the law, and everything that they've done that's contrary to the Constitution, which you can prove easily, actually, is null and void from the time they did it. And it is not the courts that determine that. It's us. We, the people, have all the power. The courts do not. They think they do, but they don't.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, and I'll get off here and let somebody else ask their questions.
Thank you.
All right, Al. Hey, where are you in Kansas, Al?
Pardon?
Where in Kansas are you?
Close to the capital, Topeka.
Oh, okay.
Etowaka, Kansas.
What's it called?
Etowaka, Kansas.
Etowaka. All right. I was just curious. Thanks for calling, Al. Thanks for listening.
Yes,
I appreciate it. You're welcome. Thank you.
It's out there where Dorothy came from.
Well, you know what I'm telling you? I love Oz. It beats the hell out of what's going on in reality, doesn't it? I'm telling you. All we need to do is just follow that yellow brick road, Bill, and we'll have it made.
Yeah, but isn't the symbolism in that movie and story amazing? It's actually very telling.
Well.
You know.
I would agree, but I like the movie. If I had ruby slippers, I would have been clicking my heels 3 times a hell of a long time ago. I can tell you that much. But unfortunately, no ruby slippers on this scale. So, you know, I'm just kind of SOL where that's concerned. It just is what it is. But what are you going to do?
Well, keep taking one day at a time. It's interesting in this war manual, it talks about a republic. It says avoid the dangerous extreme of either tyranny or mobocracy. Result in statesmanship, liberty, reason, justice.
Do you have a copy of that, Bill? Maybe we ought to make a copy of that and start handing it out. What do you think?
You can get it online.
Contentment.
Contentment and program. I'll send you the link.
What's it called? Contentment and program?
No, it says result in statesmanship, liberty, reason, justice, contentment, and progress.
Oh, and progress.
This is what's
the name of the manual?
It's Citizenship, and it's the training manual number 2000-25. War Department, Washington, November 30th, 1928.
28, huh?
Yep. Before the New Deal. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, hearing the word 1928 reminds me of my friend here locally, my buddy who's been trying to tell people about these globalists for the last 50 years. And I don't know, how old is my friend now? 80, well, she was born in 28, so what is she, about 83, something like that? And she says, I've been trying to tell people for the last 50 years and they just wouldn't listen. But it's real interesting talking to her because she was so aware of so many things that a lot of people just were totally unaware of. And she's been aware of them. And she said, I always knew something was wrong. She said, even as a little kid, I knew something was wrong. I just couldn't figure out why nobody else could ever see it. She
right.
said, but I knew it wasn't right. And you know, it's amazing. It's really, it's so cool to be able to talk to somebody who was around for so much of that stuff, even though she was young girl in the 30s, but she still remembers a lot of stuff. She remembers Al Capone, and you know, it's kind of wild, but it's very interesting. I wish we could just clone her so that we could keep her around for a long, long time so people would be able to hear the truth out of people who were there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, at least Al Capone was an honest crook.
Yeah, there you go. He didn't try to hide what he was, right?
That's right.
There's a lot to be said for that, I'm telling you.
But there was an example. I found a Constitution of the World written back in the 17, 18, somewhere in that time frame, and the League of Nations and all that. This is not new. It's absolutely not new.
No, I know it. Well, I want to thank you for coming on with me again today, Bill. I always appreciate it. I know a lot of the listeners like to hear what you have to say, and I always like when people call in who have different ideas, because that's what makes the world go around, right? And, you know, we can hash stuff out. Anyway, Bill, thanks for joining me today. I appreciate it. I always do so.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Right.
Take care.
You bet.
Hey, listen, everybody, you know what? If you go to my website, three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, you're going to find a tab on there with William Taylor Ryle's name on there, and he has put some documents that he's written up on there. So if you're interested, please go there. And you know what? You know, I love to go to Oz because somewhere over the rainbow is a wonderful place to be. Listen, everybody, keep your chin up. Better days are coming. I feel positive that they are. I really do. Listen, we've got people in the world like William Taylor Ryle fighting for you and I, so you can't lose heart. Hey, and the sun will come up tomorrow, right? Always does. That's the good thing. It always does. Hey, take care, everybody. And stay tuned for another great show. And I'll be back tomorrow.
Behind the moon, beyond the rain,
somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby.
The next round of